Okay, can you hear me now?
Now you're on.
Okay. Okay, let me get started here. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where I'm going to be at mostly today. it's always good to be back up here and see all my friends and get to visit with everyone, hear some good messages. I'm not going to tell no joke today. The last one I told, it took too long till for y'all to understand it. So I'm going to lay off of that. But my message today is our greatest task are our greatest treasure. So let's go to Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, again, we thank you for another day, and thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand. And pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our heart through your word. Ask this in Christ's name, amen. Second Corinthians chapter 5 is a very important chapter in your Bible. It deals with quite a number of things. And I just wanted to briefly go over a few things with you because I've got about 50 minutes, and I usually don't do 50 minutes. So I'm going to try to drag this out and talk and talk as slow as I can so, so y'all understand everything I say, okay? But the last few times I tried to do this, I didn't do too good, and I didn't last too long, okay? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to start with, you see, in the first few verses, he's dealing with your heavenly home. He tells you that you're going to be there for eternity. So if you ever want a verse to prove where you're going to be for eternity, you will always go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, and you can see that very clearly. The next few verses there in chapters, verse 7, you see that we walk by faith, not by sight. The next verse there, we're talking about, by the way, verse 8, in my mind, does away with the doctrine of soul sleep, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I definitely believe that when I die, I'm not going to lay in a grave until the rapture of the church. So that's what we're talking about there. So in verse 10, you see the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, if you're at this judgment, you're never going to answer for one sin, or you wouldn't be there to start with. But you are going to answer for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And basically, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. You've got to realize that we're saved by grace. I understand that. Through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But you got to read Ephesians 2:10 to get the full story. In Ephesians 2:10, you see that we've been ordained to do good works. So in the rest of the chapter, basically what we're going to be talking about, doing good works. Now, we've been ordained to do good works, so therefore we ought to do them. And he gives specific instructions on what we should be doing. And he gives us a ministry to do those with, and he gives us the word, and he equips us to do that. But I'm going to start out here in verse 14. And these verses have been gone over this week, but we'll go over them again. In verse 14, we'll start there. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So we see that we are dead in Christ, so he died for one. One died for all, and he died for all of us. By the way, when you look at this, you can see very plainly that the only way you can go to hell today is by not believing and trusting in what Christ did for you on the cross. Okay? God does not send anyone to hell. So you can get that out of your mind. You send yourself to hell. If you reject what he did for you, then that's where you're going to go. And that's the sad story of it. And it goes on to say that he died for all. He didn't die for one or two, he died for all. And the all here means all. So all our sins are taken care of. The only thing is, we've got to receive that. We've got to believe and trust in what he did for us. And he died for our sins, we all know that. He was buried and took our sins away. And that's part of the gospel. And the third day, he rose again for our justification. And basically, that's what these verses are saying. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So there's the gospel right there. And like I said, in this chapter, he tells you so much information in this one chapter. The next verse is very important. And if you have been going to a denominational church, I guarantee you that you will never hear this verse preached in a denominational church. I sat in one for quite a few years. I never hear this verse. They never taught this or never read this verse. Now, they're going to read you verse 17, and they're going to do that to you all the time. They're going to tell you about being a new creature in Christ, but they're not going to read you verse 16. Verse 16 says, wherefore, henceforth, in other words, from this time on, Paul says, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Well, what does that mean? That simply means that in his earthly ministry, we do not follow that doctrine any longer. If you go back over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see what was taught over there by our Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel only, by the way, you can plainly see that that message over there is not for you, and that doctrine is not for you. It's so plain over there. What about Matthew? I'm not going to read these verses, but you can write them down and read them for yourself. In Matthew 23, and verse number 3, what does he tell the people? Keep the law. Keep the law of Moses. Do what they tell you to do down in the temple. And that was to keep the law of Moses. You know what else he did when he healed a man over in the book of Mark in first chapter in verse 44? You know what he told that man to do? Take a sacrifice down to the, and show yourself to the priest. And make a sacrifice that was commanded by the law. That's what he told him to do. He didn't tell us to do that, did he? No, he didn't do that. In Mark 16, you know, in the modern day Bibles, they try to do away with most of this chapter. And you know why they do that is simply because they don't want to pick up serpents. You know, in my part of the country and around that area, they do that kind of thing. But you know, I've got more respect for them people than I have some of those others that deny half of it and take the other half. You know what they do? If you read Mark 16, it's talking about speaking with other tongues. Now, they believe that. But they say, oh, well, that picking up a serpent. You know what that means? That means, I don't know. They make all kinds of excuses. Well, if they told me to pick up a serpent, I would definitely make an excuse. In fact, I'd hit the door, you know. I don't do that kind of thing. And why was they doing that kind of thing? The Lord told them to do it simply because in John 4 and verse 48, what does he say? You will not believe unless you see what? Signs. And that's why they were picking up serpents, because they had to see signs. Israel had to see a sign before they believed. And when you come over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's why Paul's telling you very plainly that we know Christ no longer after the flesh. And that doctrine that he preached after the flesh is not to you. And that's so important. And in most denominational churches today, where does 90% of their messages come from? They come right out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you all know that. Now, there's nothing wrong with preaching and teaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you tell very plainly to the people that those verses are not written for their doctrine, but they are written for their learning and to know what the Lord did when he was up on the earth. And that's very simple understanding if they would only explain that to the people. See, we use those verses. You know, we get accused of only using Paul's writing. That's not true. That's not true. We use the whole Bible, but we understand that the whole Bible is not written to us. It is for our learning. And that's what you got to understand about that whole Bible. You read it and you study it to understand how God dealt with the different people in different ages. And if you want to know about what's going to happen in the future, if you want to know about what the book of Revelation is talking about, and if you want to know what Daniel's talking about, you know what you've got to do first? You've got to study them 13 books before you ever turn to the first page in the book of Revelation. You've got to understand the difference. That's why it's so important to see that. And that's why Paul says that henceforth, from this time forward, know we him no more. And if you're preaching that doctrine to your church, then what you're doing, you're teaching another Jesus, really and truly. That's what you're doing. And in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul does say that there's another Jesus being taught. There's another spirit out there. Sure there is. They're teaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, I'm pretty dumb, but I can understand that. I know that if the rapture took place this instant, that kingdom would not show up at least for 7 years, and how many more years, I don't know. That's very plain in the Scripture. And we can understand that. And we can know that. So, there's a verse over here in Matthew chapter 19. And you know what that says? We've heard that this week. A rich man, what did he tell that rich man? Sell all that you have and come and follow me. I wonder why they don't teach that. Well, see, they're a bunch of hypocrites because they follow some of that stuff, but the other part of it, they leave it alone. And that's the God's truth, and you all know that. And they tell you all this stuff. Well, let's go on to verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 5:17. What we got? Paul says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, I understand that when a man gets saved, that you know, he has a change. I don't doubt that at all. But they still live in an old sinful body, and they still do the same thing they did the day before. Well, sure they can. They shouldn't want to. I understand that. But you know, when I read Paul's writings, there's only one place, is the only place I can find the body of Christ. You ever think about that? You know, we've got people out there teaching today that we're over there in the wilderness, in that church in the wilderness. Well, you got to be, you know what you got to do to be a member of that church? Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, does he not, that they had to go through that Red Sea and be baptized underneath that thing and walk through on dry land. None of us ever done that. And when they got on the other side, that didn't put them in the body of Christ, did it? No, it didn't. You know, for when we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us, you know what happens to us? By one Spirit, we're all baptized by that Spirit into one body. Are we not one body? And verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are members of that body in particular. That one body is the church today. The body of Christ is the church. And I'm not in that church over there. And I'm not in the church that started over there with Peter. I'm not in that. You know, the word church simply means a called out group of people. Read the book of Acts, what are you going to find? You're going to find the same word that's translated church over there used as a mob. So the word church simply means a called out group of believers. And we're called out by one Spirit and placed into one body, which is the church. And that's a new creature. That is a new creature. And we've been placed there by the Spirit. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All that happened to him. You know, we didn't do anything to deserve that, did we? No, we didn't. We don't do a thing but believe and trust in what he did for us. The Holy Spirit takes us and baptizes us into that body, and he seals us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, does he not? He circumcises us with an operation made with our hands, does he not? Sure he does. And we become the temple of God. That's what we're talking about today. And all that other stuff, it's good to learn and to know where you add in it, and that's what you ought to do. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been. That's what happened to you. Right there is what happened to you on that day. So, verse 18. How am I doing on time, man? I'm doing all right here. Only got 30 minutes to go. Verse 18. Now Paul's going to deal with your ministry. Your ministry. He's not going to tell you to go over to Matthew 28 and go into all the world and baptize everybody, is he? No. In verse 18, what you going to do here? And all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has, that's past tense, given to us a ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry today. We're supposed to reconcile a lost and dying world to Christ. That is our duty. That is what we're supposed to do. And if we're not doing that, then the word is not getting passed on. That's a simple thing. He has given that to us. And each individual has that. Not just the guy that stands in the pulpit on Sunday morning. You know, we want to put everything on that guy and say, well, you know, we're paying him money to do that, so he ought to do it, right? Well, we think that that guy there, he's supposed to be the one going out and bringing the people in. Well, you got a responsibility also. You have the ministry of reconciliation. The church, the local church, is designed to train its membership so they can go out in the community and win others. That's what the duty of the church is. And that's what we ought to be doing. Because each one of us has the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling, that God was in the world, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When you read that in verse 19, not imputing their trespasses. Are you not thankful today that your trespasses are not imputed to you any longer? Boy, we couldn't handle that, could we, if they were. That wouldn't be a good thing at all. Not imputing this. And he has given us the word of reconciliation. We have that word. We have that word. We have that ministry, and we ought to use it. That's what it's designed for. You know, you can sit at home and study that Bible and know all the doctrines and all that stuff and sit down and try to figure out when the world's going to end. But it's no value to you unless you can win somebody to the Lord. And that's the truth. If you're not using it for nothing but your own selfish reasons, then you're not doing what this word tells you to do. Plain and simple. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Every single person that's ever been put in the body by the Spirit by believing and trusting in him has been given a office, a very high office in his kingdom. And that is the office of ambassador. What's the job of an ambassador? An ambassador is to represent his home. And if your home is in heaven, which it should be, then you should represent your heavenly home here upon the earth. And if you're not doing that, then you're not fulfilling the office of an ambassador. The rest of that verse says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So you are ambassadors for Christ. You know, I tell people this, and this is not a very good thing to tell them, but in our country, if we send an ambassador to another country and he's not doing his job, what happens? We call him home, don't we? I'm not telling you that if you're not. You know, they take this the wrong way. I'm not telling you that if you're not doing your duty as an ambassador, that the next day you're going out of here. Because if that was true, I don't think there'd be very many of us sitting here today, do you? So I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that. But that's true in our country. They represent us, and they're not doing a good job. You know, we call them home. Okay, to be a good ambassador, what do you need? Well, there's a few things that you really need. And I'll give you a few verses here. Romans 9:3. We ought to love our brethren as Paul loved his. And we're talking about everybody here. Paul loved his brothers in the flesh enough that what was he willing to do? He was willing to be accursed of God, cursed by God, if he could get his brethren saved. So we ought to love our brethren the same way. Romans 9:3, for I would wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Do you see that? That is part of the duty of an ambassador. That's what you ought to have. You ought to have a love in your heart for your fellow man, that you would want to put him in that body of Christ along with you. You know, I would hate to go to heaven by myself. I probably couldn't run the whole thing. Wouldn't you all? I'd have a hard time doing all that, you know. A lady told me one time that I don't understand how you could have stayed in the military 20 years with your personality. And I said, well, you don't really know me. If you want to know my personality, well, ask my wife. I fly off the handle once in a while. I try to act different around people than I do at home, they tell me. I don't know whether it's true or not, but my dogs run when I get there, you know. You got to see people as God sees them. Romans 5:8. Who did Christ die for, by the way? You know, he didn't die for the old righteous guy, did he? Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love towards us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, what about that? That's what we've got to look at. You know, we look at people, and because of their actions and how they appear to us, we say, well, you know, I don't want nothing to do with that guy. That's not the way to do it at all. We got to look at him like God, like God looks at him. He's a sinner, and he needs salvation just like everyone else. Don't fear the flesh. That's part of something you need to be a good ambassador, to not fear the flesh. Second Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you see that? He has not given you fear. You're not fear of the flesh. You know, if I can stand up here and look like Matlock, like Richard said, well, sure as goodness, you guys could go out and not fear the flesh the way you all look pretty good to me. So it doesn't really matter how you look. You know, I've been doing TV for 10 or 15 years. You know, I have never got a call. I've never got a call and someone said, boy, you look stupid. But I have got a lot of calls that said, you don't know what you're talking about. So there's a big difference. So don't worry about that. You can't worry about what people think of you. Do you realize, some of you guys are young. I understand that. But in my case, 50 years from now, you know, no one on the face of this earth will ever know that I existed. Do you realize that? I realize that. So 100 years from now, they won't know that you ever lived either. They'll see your name on a tombstone somewhere. That's all. So why worry about what people think of you? Okay, another reason here is focus on your knowledge of the truth. And Brother Hayes brought this verse up. 2 Timothy 2:7, and that is one of my favorite verses. You know, when I read that, and it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Either that's a lie or it's the truth. And, you know, even a dumb old hillbilly like me can understand that. So don't worry about this stuff. Study your Bible. Know what God wants you to do and know what God has equipped you to do and go out and do it. Don't be afraid of anything. If they kill you, you know, you've got a better home waiting for you anyhow. You know, I've been on Pal Talk and they threatened to kill me. And I didn't give them my address and say, I didn't say, come on down, brother. But I'll wait as long as I can, but you know, what can I say? You know, and the next thing you ought to do, you ought to pray for boldness. You know, that's what Paul said to do, did he not? I mean, you ought to loosen up your tongue and go tell somebody. Ephesians 6 and verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you see that? Paul said to pray that you could open up your mouth boldly. Don't be afraid of what people's going to think about you. Do it. That's what he's saying. Boldly. Pray for that. And then you can do it. Be willing to give all. And I'm not talking about selling your car and doing all that stupid stuff that people do. Or your home or whatever. But Romans 12 and verse 1, what does that say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what is unreasonable? Anything below that. That's unreasonable. In other words, if you've been graded on a curve, well, you're going to make a D or a L. That's unreasonable. And that, if you're doing a grading system, that would be a C. To present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be willing to give all. And I'm not talking about possessions you have. Make that a priority in your life. To be the best ambassador that you can be. Think about that. That's what he's talking about here. That's what he's talking about. And have the mind of Christ. You know, we already have the mind of Christ. The only problem is we don't think about that at all. We want to make our mind think about something we ought not be thinking about. And that's what we do. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who has known the mind of Christ, mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Use that mind of Christ. Use that to be a good ambassador today. Tell someone about where you're going when you die. Ask them where they're going when they die. Ask them if they'd like to go with you. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. I think this verse has been talked about quite a bit this week. And when we read this, we ought to be so thankful that he was made sin for us, by the way. And it says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only righteousness you have has been imputed to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only righteousness you have, by the way. You're not righteous in yourself, and never can be, because you're living in a sinful body. But he was made sin for us. Made sin for us. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them of belief. There is no difference. Today there is no difference. Everyone in God's eyes are the same. A Jew living in Jerusalem today, you know how he can get to God the same way you can. There's no difference. A Muslim or any other religion, they can get to God the same way you can. And there is no difference today. And that's why that we are ambassadors representing our heavenly home here upon the earth. And we ought to be doing that. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive this grace of God in vain. Do something with it. It's abundant. You can't measure it. God's grace is out there. Give it to somebody else. It won't take away from you. He's got enough for you and everybody else. So don't do it. Don't take that grace in vain. Verse 2. For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. and in the day of salvation have I secured them. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, today is the day. We don't have tomorrow. We have no promise of tomorrow. Today is the day. So if you're sitting in the audience today and hearing this word, and you have never trusted and believed in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, then today is a day that you need to believe and trust in that. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's today. And the only time you can ever do anything for the Lord, you know what day it is? Today. You don't have that promise for tomorrow. You don't have that. Okay, I'm looking at my time here, and I've went a long time today. So I guess I can close with that. Remember, if you're ever down south, well, give me a call. If you ever pass through the Knoxville area, well, turn your TV on. You might see this old ugly face on there. I don't know. you're welcome to come anytime. I'm going to, Richard, I think I'm going to be in La Follette this year, and I'll be up there to listen to him, and we're going to have him down at our little place Sunday night. So if you're in that area at that time, well, come and see me. Thank you. Boy, I get them claps going.
Thank you for getting that. There wasn't a tomato in it.
Yeah, I know.
There wasn't even a tomato in that. Thank you, Brother Ray. You want to mute that lapel mic.